The scripture reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans, chapter 14, beginning with verse 7. We don't live for ourselves and we don't die for ourselves. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to God. This is why Christ died and lived, so that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you look down on your brother or sister? We will all stand in front of the judgment seat of God. Because, as it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will give praise to God," so that each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So stop judging each other. Instead, this is what you should decide. Never put a stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother or sister. I know, and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is wrong to eat in itself. But if someone thinks something is wrong to eat, it becomes wrong for that person. If your brother or sister is upset by your food, you are no longer walking in love. Don't let your food destroy someone for whom Christ died. And don't let something you consider to be good be criticized as wrong. God's kingdom isn't about eating food and drinking, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ this way pleases God and gets human approval. So let's strive for the things that bring peace and the things that build each other up. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Love grows here. That is this year's Sunday school theme, and it was the focus of worship this past Sunday. Together we celebrated God's love, understanding that God's love is intended to grow, and it will grow when it is tended and nurtured. Even in a harsh desert condition, God's love will find a way to grow. You know what else grows in harsh environments against all resistance? Weeds. If we're going to be faithful in tending and nurturing the love of God so that it may grow here, we have to be mindful of the presence and persistence of weeds. Nurturing God's love demands that we be diligent to cultivate an environment where love grows unimpeded by those pesky weeds. We were reminded last week that God's love is nurtured and grows when we hear the stories of our faith which betray God, who comes to us seeking to include us in the greater story of God's love. Indeed, we are committed to hearing and telling the stories of our faith, to building relationships and connected community, to serving together and being filled with the fruits of righteousness. But how mindful are we of the weeds? Tending and nurturing a growing love calls for us to do the necessary weeding. Just as there are fruits of righteousness, there are weeds. There will always be weeds. The Apostle Paul's eyes were wide open last week. He was fully aware of the love the Philippians had already demonstrated for him and for others. With eyes of faith, he prayed that their love would grow. He trusted love to simply do the right thing if it was allowed to continue and grow on its own unique and powerful way. In today's scripture reading in Romans, Paul seems to also have his eyes open wide enough to notice some of the weeds that could foil the beauty, fruitfulness, and flourishing of love if not removed. Weeds that Paul noticed in his day still continue to propagate unimpeded today. Invasive weeds that cannot be ignored or accepted as harmless or as an isolated, unfortunate outgrowth that has little impact on the place where love waits to grow. What are these pesky weeds that can hamper the growth of love? Paul identifies one such invasive species that continues to thrive, shooting up everywhere you look. Judgment. Now, the particular focus and context of Paul's letter at this point was the judgment that grew up, strangling the tender plant of love among the early believers, concerning whether it was permissible for them to eat meat that might have been offered to idols, or that sought the blessing of other gods in the process of producing it. Paul didn't avoid that pressing social concern of his day, but in answering it, he said that the crucial issue wasn't the eating of such food, but the division that the believers were allowing it to cause between them, and how it foiled their continued growth of love they had for one another. Instead of being more and more loving, they were more and more judgmental of one another. Now, the leaves of this weed might have adapted to changing circumstances over time, but judging others is a pesky weed that remains with us. We continue to find one litmus test or another by which to judge others. In Paul's time, what you chose to eat or not to eat could be quite controversial. Food still takes a primary role in our lives together as God's church, but these days, it usually brings us together more than it divides us. In its place, we have plenty of other things that threaten to divide us instead. Maybe you have been judged by where you come from, where you live, or with whom you choose to live. Maybe you have been judged by others or yourself by what you have accomplished or not accomplished, regardless of what you had to work with. Whatever it is, there are many factors by which we pass judgment on one another. Paul encourages his readers and us to discover and then to honor the differences among us, seeking to discover who has diverse thoughts, backgrounds, and experiences so as to care, support, and mutually edify. In regard to all the differences that may be found, we are to be humble enough to understand others. The guidance is clearly to moderate our own opinions and seek to understand rather than domineer or judge, we might add. Our capacity to accept without requiring assimilation, to stand in solidarity without being the same, bears witness to God's transcending love and all-encompassing welcome. It is not God's intention that our differences would bring division, much less judgment, but that through our differences we would have a fuller expression and understanding of God. Paul asks a question: why do you judge your brother or sister? It's not a rhetorical question. It's not just a question Paul asks his readers. It's one that we need to ask ourselves, trying to get to the root of this problem. To get to this root, it might be helpful to consider that judging others isn't the only weed that tends to sprout up from that root. There are other weeds: jealousy, envy, anger, rage, all that grow from one common root, all invasive weeds that prevent the growth of flourishing love for others. To get to this root, we need to look no further than the book of Hebrews, where we find this: make sure no root of bitterness grows up that might cause trouble and pollute many people. We might not be wrong to say that bitterness is the root of all the pesky weeds that tend to grow up among us. Bitterness. It's hard to describe exactly what is meant by bitterness. But then again, bitterness probably needs no description. We know it when we feel it. The problem is, it is such a common feeling that we pay no mind when weeds shoot up from this root where love is supposed to be growing. Maybe if we realize the outgrowth of bitterness and how it might cause the trouble and pollute many people, we would be more diligent to rid our lives of it so that our love may grow more freely. Maybe if we realized what was at the root of the unkind behavior of others toward us, we could better understand it and release ourselves from its tentacles. Maybe if we thought of all the unkindness and injustice in the world as coming from one same root, we would realize how we get tangled up in the weeds ourselves. Have you ever wondered why you get angry when someone cuts you off in traffic? And how could they possibly have the audacity to become annoyed when you lay down on your horn? And what compels grown folks to make those childish hand gestures? What is it in us that is triggered by someone else's anger, by their judgment? Could it be that we are all connected by the same root system? Does the root of bitterness lie buried somewhere beneath the surface of our otherwise polite and loving selves? Could it be that our root of bitterness, is innately connected to our root of bitterness? Whenever their anger is put in motion, it gives a yank on our root of bitterness. We react because they are not only pushing our buttons, they're tugging at the root to which we are connected to. A root that Catherine Rickless says makes all of us far more alike in our heartbreaking loneliness and despair than our conflicts suggest. In the face of the bitterness of others, whatever outgrowth it may take, once invited into that spiral of bitterness, we find a new capacity of our own bitterness in what Rickless calls the law of unfolding. How do we escape this entanglement of our common root of rage with one another? How do we free ourselves from the injury of others' bitterness? How do we cease to retaliate, or maybe even sometimes instigate, acts of bitterness? Maybe just by paying attention to what Paul says should be enough. Stop judging others. Now he decides to be succinct, right? Maybe we need the help of Maya Angelou on this one. She offers a suggestion on how to relate to others in love. While I know myself to be a creation of God, I am also obligated to realize and remember that everyone else and everything else are also God's creation. Maybe the best approach is to realize that what got us into this mess is a common root shared by us all. The root of bitterness. Maybe we could most benefit from letting that tug of somebody else's behavior that we feel within ourselves remind us that we have some weeding of our own garden to do. The call today is to extract bitterness at its roots, to let love grow in its place. Striving, as Paul says, for the things that bring peace and the things that build each other up. Amen.